Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We've got Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. That is the southern, kind of like, it's not quite this, but it's below I-10 in Escambia County and then the waterfront properties in Santa Rosa County. I know that's not quite right, but, you know, just for visual sake, it's close enough. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So why would you be so mean to the head of ACCA yesterday that you would ask them, what was their expression in their hostage video response, that he ambushed us with these questions?
Yeah. Andrew, I don't know why ACCA doesn't think this is a big deal, but if your listeners found out that our state employees entered into a $67 million settlement with a major managed care company, one of our biggest HMOs that only receives taxpayer dollars. And after that $67 million settlement happened, $10 million of it happened to fall off a truck on the way back to the state agency and end up in the hands of the governor's wife's charity. I think most folks would think that was a big deal. That's exactly what happened. And unfortunately, for 2.5 some odd hours, I could not get the secretary of the state's largest agency in control of the largest budget, most amount of money, tell me exactly what that money was even intended to be used for.
So, okay, this healthcare management company does a settlement for money they owe to the state for doing things wrong. $67 million.
Taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, taxpayer dollars. Yep. $57 million of it goes back to ACCA. Appropriately, $10 million of that goes to the Hope Florida program, which is Casey DeSantis's, like, you know, do good things in the community, help people organization. Is that even legally allowed? Did you guys have oversight? Did you know? Can they make a decision? Like, tell me what's going on and why this is inappropriate, because it doesn't sound great, but, you know, maybe they're okay.
So, no, I don't believe it's legal. When a state agency enters into a settlement with a third party that results in money coming back to the state, it's supposed to go back to general revenue. It's supposed to be reported to the legislature. Same with entering into any kind of legal settlement. The legal settlement itself should have been reported to the legislature. The fact that this charity nonprofit, it's technically, Hope Florida is a direct support organization of DCF. So it's a 501c3 not-for-profit that's just supposed to be supporting DCF's mission. If that's the case, I'm still at a loss as to how a separate healthcare agency, the Agency for Healthcare Administration, thought it would be a good idea to send money that was due back to ACCA to a separate agency's nonprofit organization.
Because transferring it over to DCF would be another, like, you know, you guys in the legislature got the budget wrong. They need this money more than we do. They can do good things with it. Even that they're not supposed to do, even if they were transferring it directly to an actual vetted agency like that, right? I mean, a division
right.
of the government.
And to make matters worse, this is the only charity the state runs that's never filled out a 990 with the IRS reported any of its income, assets, or expenditures. This is the only charity that owns buses, but won't tell the state. Like, they've bought buses and wrapped them with the Hope Florida and Casey DeSantis logos and everything like that, but they won't tell the state how much they own. Like, they don't feel as if the rules apply to them or that they have to explain to Floridians exactly what they're doing with taxpayer dollars. And it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem.
Well, when the secretary was there yesterday for ACCA, she basically said back to you, we're doing things to help families and kids, and it's kind of sad, I'm just quoting, that this is the goal of helping individuals get back on their feet. I don't know what's wrong with that. Why aren't you aligned with this? That was her pushback against you. Aren't we doing good things with this money? And your answer is?
There's a record of this nonprofit handing out maybe $1 million in charitable donations to other charities. Think of it as like like the Temu version of the United Way. Like, that's what it is. It, like, doles out some checks to local charities with big checks and stuff. But maybe $1 million or so I can see a record of. We have evidence at this point of $30 million plus in taxpayer dollars going to Hope, Florida. And it's never been accounted for. So there's $10 million from this legal settlement. It looks like there's $20 million in leftover COVID money, unused COVID money that DCF steered to this DSO. And the idea of a DSO, it's literally a direct support organization. It's supposed to be raising private dollars to support the mission of, in this case, DCF, the Department of Children and Families.
Yeah.
Why the heck is it going in the opposite? Why the heck is money going the opposite direction and taxpayer dollars getting funneled to this direct support organization?
So we'll come back to this in a second, because, again, this is I saw this on actual national news yesterday, not just Florida news, because it was such a big story, particularly because it's connected to Casey DeSantis. Casey DeSantis, of course, the wife of the governor, but also, you know, widely believed to be one of the front runners potentially for the governorship when he is termed out in 2 years here in Escambia, Santa Rosa County. So, Alex, if this all made sense, if it were easy to justify and explain, typically it doesn't take 3 hours or 2.5 hours to not explain it, right? It takes, you know, a couple of minutes. Okay, here's why we have the authority. Here's what they did with the money. Here's why we thought this was a good idea. Here's, right, like that's the, and so when that doesn't happen, you get more and more irritated and it looks more and more like something really illegitimate is happening. A slightly sort of different take on this, and I just don't know, so you tell me. I thought maybe, was Hope Florida involved at all in the efforts by Governor DeSantis last year to oppose the amendments, the marijuana and the abortion amendment? There was no connection between those, was there?
I don't know. That's the whole thing is, there is a possibility, until we see where their money went, there's a possibility that money's being used for illicit purposes. Because of the timing of when this legal settlement happened and this money got transferred, you know, fell off the truck and got, you know, $10 million got sent over to Hope, Florida. Because of the timing in late September, early October, it's possible this was the money that was used to help fund Anti-Amendment 3 and Anti-Amendment 4 campaign advertising, which would obviously be illegal. We're not sure because they won't share their transactions with us.
We certainly don't know that, but the timing of it and the lack of transparency encourages you to speculate, unfortunately, right?
Yeah. It's possible that you know, the First Lady's living off this money. We don't know, right? Just because they've refused to share any details about their accounts receivable, who's donating and when. I mean, we do know that there's a pattern of very large vendors for the state making very large voluntary contributions to Hope, Florida right before major contract awards from the state. We do know that. That doesn't mean, you know, like, what is it? Correlation doesn't equal causation.
Right, sure.
I'm not saying that, but we do know that's happening. We just don't know to what extent, because, again, they have not shared their bank accounts with us, which they're statutorily required to do, and we just don't know the extent of it. It's really is a black hole, and it's unacceptable for a state agency that thought it was a good idea to send $10 million to this black hole to not be able to tell me why they did it or what that money was intended to be used for.
So is it theoretically possible that everything here really does have a good explanation and makes sense, or is it really and clearly, from your point of view, a violation of at least what you're supposed to do or the law, because it didn't come back to you guys for authority and because it was transferring it to a subsidiary of another state agency? Like, best case scenario, is the best case scenario still unacceptable?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Because this was a settlement, a legal settlement that by law they were supposed to notify us of, but they did not. And it was a legal settlement that the proceeds of which should have gone immediately back to GR, general revenue. None of that taxpayer dollars should have ever should have ever fallen off that truck and gone to Hope, Florida.
We're talking to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. I wanted to get to a couple of other things. One thing, just a kudos. I played some of the audio earlier this week, but you are running a bill dealing with IHMC that allows them to assign their patents, essentially, intellectual property to subsidiary units. They have kind of a unique governing structure or unique operating structure, and that makes sense. But the other part of that bill is that it would change the requirement that the chairman of the board of UWF would be an automatic bid onto the board of IHMC. The bill would change that. Which, of course, Scott Yenner's gone now, so, you know, it's not exactly moot, but I can understand why. I just thought it was an interesting opportunity for you to promote IHMC to all of these people from around the state on these committees that, you know, they don't really know about what we're doing here in Pensacola, Florida. That's kind of fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been so proud of IHMC for years. I mean, anytime a legislator comes to town and they have time, I try and bring them over to IHMC just because of how cool IHMC is. I mean, it's just an impressive, you know, operation. I mean, there's no place else in the world I can think of, especially not one that's smack dab in the middle of downtown Pensacola, that's helping blind people see colors through the use of taste, you know, their tongue. There's no place else that you can see these incredible exoskeletons helping paraplegics walk. It's just a really neat operation and something I love bragging on.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. And it is. It's like before I lived here, I never heard of it. Once I discovered it, I'm like, oh, my God. You know, this is amazing right here in Pensacola. One of the other obvious hot topic right now is Scott Yenner leaving the UWF Board of Trustees as the chairman. He's resigned. But you still have a process ongoing where the other trustees, nominees that the governor and the Board of Governors have put up are going through the process. They all got approved yesterday by the next three got approved by their the committee. They have another committee, Ethics and Elections, and they have the general vote in the Senate. I know it's Senate side, not your side. But one of the bills that's being run by, you know, one of your partners at in Tallahassee, Michelle Salzman, and then I think it's Alexis Calatayud who's running the pair bill on the Senate side, would change the obligations for candidates to be on the Board of Trustees for any member of the state university system. And that would mean they have to either be in residence of Florida or have been a graduate of that institution in order to be eligible. I've had people text me and say, why would we exclude good people who might be outside the state, not from this system? And my answer is, well, you know, rules are usually a reaction to bad behavior, you know, and this seems like a reaction to the governor's bad behavior here to prevent it from happening in the future. Would it maybe make more sense to have a provision that no more than two or no more than three can be non-Floridian, non-alums or something like that?
Possibly. I haven't, to be honest with you, I haven't looked at the bill. Don't know anything about it.
Oh, okay.
Although I think the governor's main issue with it is that it prohibits the governor, the governor's staff from at all talking with Board of Trustees members during a presidential search.
Okay.
There's language in the bill that, I think I don't blame the governor for viewing as hostile. You know, and I think frankly, like, I don't know why we'd restrict the governor's office from doing that. I mean, I haven't looked into the bill enough to understand the justification for that portion.
Okay.
But I think that's while Governor DeSantis won't say that directly, I think that's probably the biggest issue he has with the bill.
And I think there was also a restoring things to sunshine in the process of selecting, and there's been some concern about a requirement that the three candidates, something, you know, like that it doesn't get just decided in the smoke-filled room or whatever is kind of part of it too. But it's an interesting bill. And, you know, honestly, it was really interesting to watch the UWF nominees compared to the PSC nominees because both were in the same hearing yesterday. We'll be talking about that coming up in a minute. Alex, oh my God, we're totally out of time. We always run out of time. And by the way, I like the answer of I'm not sure, I haven't looked into it enough. I honestly respect that answer. You know I do. Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Andrew.